This morning, aren't you so glad that we serve a God who answers prayer? If you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior today, we are able to call God Father. We can be assured that our Father loves us. Our Father cares for us. Our Father is one who provides for us. And we today are able, without any doubts in our minds, to know that our Heavenly Father hears us whenever we cry out to Him. Whenever we are in distress, whenever we are worried, whenever we have any type of need, we may call out to our great God, to our Heavenly Father, and we know that He is more than able to help us. Whenever we are burdened down with the cares of this world, whenever we feel like we are trapped and there's no way of escape, what can we do? We can pray to God. Whenever the world is against us, whenever the most powerful of foes is against us, we know that God is on our side. We know that God is more than able to deliver us whenever we seek His face. And for centuries and even for millennia, God has shown Himself faithful to the needs of His children. He has been faithful to meet those needs. God has demonstrated His great power on behalf of His children. And the God who so long ago answered the prayers of men like David, who time and time again heard His cries and met His needs, this God is still hearing us today in answering our prayers today. And how encouraging are words like this that we read in Psalm chapter 5 and verses 1 through 3. This is what David says: "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." David had confidence in his God. Yes, David cried out to Him in the morning, and David was assured that his God would hear his voice, that God would be attentive to his prayer. Again, we read this in Psalm 28 in verses 1 and 2. David says this: "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle." Once more in Psalm 30 in verses 2 and 3, we read this: "O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit." Those are just a few passages in the book of Psalms where we have either the psalmist, whether we have David or somebody else, crying out to the Lord in his need, and the Lord faithfully answers those needs. We read this in Psalm 55 in verse 17: "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." We could go to Psalm 61, verses 1 through 3. We could go to Psalm 86, verses 3 through 5. But as we consider who our God is, how powerful He is, how wise He is, how loving our God is, and our God is a God who cares about His children, and He readily hears our cries when we are in need, and even when we are not in need. And truly, we always have need of a God, don't we? But who among God's people would be so foolish as to neglect coming to our great God in prayer? As we think about God's care for His own, His ready provision, how would anyone fail to pray to God every day, even many times a day? Would you agree with me that it is a privilege, it is a great honor to praise and worship our God? It is a blessing for us to commune with the God of the universe, to commune and have fellowship with the Creator of all things, to be able to seek God's face, the Creator, the Almighty One, the only true God, to seek God's face at any time of the day, to tell God of all of our needs and all of our burdens, to implore God for grace and mercy, to ask God to do what is humanly impossible, to beseech God to do great things in this world for His glory. Truly, this is what it means for a child of God to pray to the Father. But yet, who among us would say, well, I pray plenty every day. Yeah, I pray more than enough. I think most of us would realize, and we would admit very readily, that we pray far too little every day, don't we? And even if we are a person who spends hours in prayer every day, even that person would admit very readily that even more time should be spent or could be spent in prayer. There are so many needs. There are so many reasons to go to God in praise and thanksgiving. God wants to do amazing things in response to our prayers. But far too often, that line of communication between us and God is silent. We get busy with our lives, and life is busy, isn't it? But sometimes we get too busy with our own lives, and we obsess over our own problems and solving them ourselves, that we fail to go to the one who has the answer to all of our problems. We fail to go to the one who is all-powerful and all-knowing and all-wise. Today we admit how often we fail in going to God for help. We are far from perfect, even as we think about praising God and having fellowship with Him in prayer. And we know that we need to be more like Jesus. As Jesus prayed to the Father, we need to pray to the Father like that. And this morning I am preaching a message about prayer. You probably caught on to that. But my sermon on prayer is different than others that I could preach. I could emphasize today the need to pray more often, to exercise even more earnestness in our prayers. I could preach messages on that. I could preach a message on being more zealous and having even more faith demonstrated in our prayers. And a sermon on any one of those topics would be worthwhile and it'd be very beneficial. But today, my sermon is headed a different direction. I want to submit to you this morning that not all prayer is pleasing to God. Would you agree with me there? Not all prayer is pleasing to God. Yes, there is such a thing, and this is what God seeks. There is such a thing as genuine prayer to God. But there is also such a thing as hypocritical prayer to God. See, not everyone who prays is actually seeking God's face. Sometimes people pray, and they pray not so much, or maybe not at all, they don't pray with the desire for God to hear them. Rather, at times, or perhaps far too often, people pray so that other people may hear what they say. Now, there are other times when people pray and they say a lot of words and they think that God surely will hear me because I am saying all these words to Him in prayer. And people think sometimes, well, if I say the right words, then God will hear me and God will answer my prayer. But little do people realize that it's not the word count of our prayers that really matters. Rather, it's one's trust in God, one's reliance upon Him that is most precious in God's sight. So we think about human history. Ever since Adam fell in the very beginning, we have misconceptions about praying to God. So sometimes we pray wrongly because of ignorance. But other times we pray wrongly because of our own arrogance or because of our own self-centeredness. And as we think about prayer, what God intends for a blessing, what God intends for an act of praise and worship, prayer can be twisted, it can be perverted by sinners into an act of ungodly deceit, an act of rebellion against God. And so it's in relation to these false notions about prayer, false practices of prayer, that Jesus long ago taught His disciples on a certain hilltop. And Jesus, in the past, even earlier, not just a few minutes earlier as He taught the disciples, Jesus had warned His disciples not to do acts of righteousness in order to be seen by men. All would admit, giving money to the poor, giving alms, is a righteous act. But if that righteous act of giving money to the poor was done in order to garner praise from other people, then that act of giving is not pleasing to God. Such giving would not result in a heavenly reward. If you're giving to the poor in order to receive praise from men, then that giving to the poor is only going to give you, it's only going to result in an earthly reward, the praise of men. And in like manner, as Jesus talks about prayer in our current passage here, if the only reason why you are praying is in order to receive praise from men, you will not receive a heavenly reward from your Father. So it's concerning this, and we can say even much more, that Jesus teaches his disciples and teaches us as well in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 5 through 8. And I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 and verses 5 through 8. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's page 1116. And follow along as I read the words of Jesus as he taught his disciples long ago. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now Jesus, in our passage this morning in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he begins his teaching in a very similar way as he did in verse 2 of the same chapter. So go up just a few verses and look at what Jesus says in chapter 6 and verse 2. Jesus says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Compare that with Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, our current verse. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Do you see similarities between verse 2 and verse 5? Notice that in both verses, Jesus begins by saying, when you give alms, when you give money to the poor in verse 2, and when you pray. So it's not a matter if, as it's not a matter of if you give to the poor, or a matter of if you pray. No, Jesus fully expected his disciples to both give money to the poor and to pray. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And surely the disciples were praying regularly. The Jewish people as a whole would have been ones that devoted time in prayer on a regular basis. And no doubt set times were devoted to prayer. Even as we read in Psalm 55 and verse 17, we read this, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. That was in the time of David, no doubt. But in the disciples' day, it seems as if there were set times that prayers were offered to God. And you think of Daniel. Remember Daniel? What did Daniel do? Daniel, even though the issue had been set forth, the decree had been issued, you know, you can't pray to anyone except for the king himself. What did Daniel do? Daniel prayed to the Lord his God, even as he had done beforehand. He kneeled on his knees three times a day, giving thanks to his God. So it seems as if for the Jewish people, there were set times to pray. In addition to those set times to pray, the disciples, no doubt, and others as well, would have had other times of prayer. And Jesus says, whenever you pray, whenever that may be, avoid the practice of certain peoples. Don't be like the hypocrites. And last week we looked at these hypocrites. And in the text here, they're not identified. But in Matthew chapter 23, we do have certain individuals identified as hypocrites. The religious leaders, the scribes, and the Pharisees. And from all outward appearances, these men were very godly from what they did. It appeared, you know, these men are doing what is right. They are pleasing God. But what appeared on the outside was far different than what their inner heart condition was. Inwardly, they were defiled sinners. They were hypocrites. And Jesus told his disciples, when you pray, don't be like those hypocrites. What do the hypocrites do? Well, the hypocrites love to pray standing in the synagogues. They love to pray on the corners of the streets. And why do they love to do that? Because they can be heard by other people. They can be seen by other people. Now, the synagogue is that place where the Jews regularly met together to worship. The scriptures would have been read. There would have been a word of exhortation or a word of encouragement from the scriptures. And there also would have been prayer offered to God. And as the hypocrites went to the synagogue, their hope, no doubt, was, hopefully today I will be called upon to pray. And they were desiring the opportunity to pray, not so that they could praise God, not to receive honor from God or to give glory to God. That was not their concern. Their concern was, as I am called to pray, and as I pray before the whole synagogue assembly, then people can hear me, and they will be thinking, wow, what a God-honoring man that is. You know, what a righteous man that is. They were hoping for people to hear them and see them and then think highly of them. They were desiring the praise of men. The hypocrites loved it when they were called upon in the synagogue to pray. But not only in the synagogue were they hoping to pray, but on the street corners. And think about the street corner. That's an even more public place to pray than the synagogue. And different people would see you there as well. So there would be any number of people on the streets that would see this individual praying and hear him praying that wouldn't have been in the synagogue service. And for these hypocrites, they loved to pray in that public position on the street corners because they were thinking, wow, people can see me, they can hear me, and they will praise me. They will think, wow, that person is a righteous person. See, these ones are praying not to have fellowship with God. These ones are praying to receive praise from men. These ones who are praying, the hypocrites, were not to be the examples for the disciples to follow. See, these men, even though they were religious leaders, they were scribes and Pharisees, but they were not righteous. They were not ones that the disciples should follow. God was not pleased with them. And for these hypocrites, the scribes and the Pharisees, they would receive no heavenly reward for their prayers. The only reward they would receive was an earthly reward, the praise of men. The disciples weren't to follow them. They must not pray as they prayed. How were they to pray? Look at verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So far from doing as the hypocrites do, as they seek men's applause and their acclaim from the synagogues and the street corners, the disciples were to pray where? In their house, and not just in their house, in the innermost room of their house, what the King James calls a closet, but it'd be an inner room, a place where you could have a door and you could close that door. And having gone into that most private of rooms, there by himself, the disciple was to offer their prayers to God, to their Heavenly Father. And see how Jesus in this verse talks about the Father as one who is in secret. We realize God is a spirit. Those who worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. So can you see a spirit? Ordinarily, you can't see a spirit, can you? God, who is spirit, cannot be seen with human eyes. Now, yes, there is his glory. Oftentimes, God chooses to manifest himself, to show himself through various means. But God himself, you cannot see. God is invisible. And the disciples, as they prayed to their Heavenly Father, this one who is in secret, who is hidden, the disciples were to pray in a place where they themselves are hidden in secret. So as the disciples prayed to their Father who is in secret, their Father who is hidden from human eyes, the disciples were to pray in a place that is secret, hidden from human eyes. And as they prayed to the Father in this way, their Father, who was in secret, would see them and hear them, but he would reward them openly in a plain manner. So you see what Jesus is emphasizing here, the lesson that he is teaching his disciples. He's calling out the hypocrites because the hypocrites are seeking acclaim and praise for their prayers by other people. That's what the hypocrites were doing. The hypocrites weren't thinking about worshiping God. Yes, they may have been looking upwards toward heaven, but their attention was more on those who are around them. So the hypocrites had it all wrong. And prayer was not meant to lift up yourself and give you a better reputation for piety or godliness. Prayer is a means by which you foster a relationship with God, your Heavenly Father. So by prayer, you should be exalting the name of God. You should be praising Him and praising His works. By prayer, you should be trusting God. You should be relying on Him. You should be asking Him to meet your deepest needs. That should be the emphasis of prayer. And as you seek God in this way, as you seek Him in trust and reliance, you don't need anyone to see you or hear you. In fact, Jesus emphasized, it's better that no one sees you, that no one hears you even, so that even as you pray to God, you are sure you're focusing on Him and not anybody else. So it's much better, Jesus says, for you to be cloistered away in the darkest recesses of the innermost room of your house and pray to God in secret. And your Father who is hidden will even reward you openly. Now Jesus in this passage is speaking much like He did in the previous passage in Matthew chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. He's using very strong language, very what we could call extreme language. So He's making the sharpest of contrasts between the hypocritical ways of the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, and the way that Jesus' disciples should be praying. So in what Jesus says here, He's not absolutely forbidding all public prayers. Right? If that's the case, I should not have been praying this morning before all of you, right? If all prayer that is public is forbidden, okay? Jesus isn't saying every single time that you pray, you have to be cloistered away in a room with the door closed. And why I say this, that we aren't to understand Jesus' teaching in this way, is because of what Jesus Himself did. There are many times that, yes, Jesus was by Himself, privately praying. You think of Him going up on a hilltop, spending all night in prayer. He's alone. He's praying. But there are also many times when Jesus prayed before a group of people, whether it's His disciples or whether it's a group of thousands of people. We could go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 41. And this is just before Jesus performs the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. And He feeds how many thousands of people? And we read this in Mark chapter 6, verse 41. And when He had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to His disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided He among them all. And I believe as Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed, He was praising God, wasn't He? He was giving thanks for that food before they ate. And He did that not just before His disciples, but before thousands of people. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, we find Jesus praying in the presence of His disciples. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. So Jesus wasn't off in a corner by Himself praying in this case. He was praying in the presence of His disciples. And as His disciples saw Him and heard Him, they likewise wanted to pray as He did. We could go to John chapter 11. We have Jesus praying before a group of people, even upon the death of His friend Lazarus. And in John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42, Jesus prayed with the specific purpose that other people would hear Him. We read this in verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. And I knew that Thou hearest Me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent Me. Here Jesus is praying in order for other people to hear Him. Now Jesus isn't praying for other people to praise Him or to think of Him more highly than He should be thought of. Jesus was praying in the presence of people for their own spiritual good, so that they, as they hear that prayer and see the answer to that prayer, would trust in him, even believing that the Father had sent him. So we consider, in these cases, and many others as well, Jesus praying in a less than private place, praying in a public fashion. So if that's the case, Jesus prayed this way without blameworthy motives, isn't it possible for his disciples to pray in that way too? And as we go to the book of Acts, it's quite clear that the early church understood Jesus in this way. They understood that it's okay to pray in a group of people so long as their motives are correct, as long as they're right before God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 24, we have the disciples together, and they're seeking a replacement for Judas Iscariot, who at that time was dead. And we read this in verse 24, and they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." So here's the prayer in the presence of 120 people or so. We come to Acts chapter 4, verses 24 through 30. The disciples had been released from the Sanhedrin, from their presence before them, and they pray these words among the believers. Verse 24, "And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?" We could continue reading on through that prayer, but here we have a public prayer in the church body. The believers praying before God. So all this to say, Jesus was not absolutely prohibiting public prayer. He wasn't demanding that all prayers be in a private, secluded place. What Jesus is saying is, as we pray, we must not be praying for others to hear us and for others to praise us and to think highly of us because of our prayer. Because if that's why we're praying, then our motives are totally wrong. God will not look upon that favorably. The purpose of prayer is not to receive other people's praises. The purpose of prayer is that fellowship with God, to praise him, to show trust and reliance upon him. It should be heartfelt communication between the believer and his God. Worshiping, praising, thanking him. It should be a demonstration of trust and love and commitment. So our eyes should be wholly directed upon God, not focused on what other people are thinking. So even by way of example, as I pray before us on a Sunday morning, it's not my goal for you to think, "Wow, that was a great prayer that Pastor just said." Okay, that's not my desire. My desire is to praise God, to bring requests before him, and to even, yes, encourage you and to bring all of you into the focus of that prayer, so that we together are praying to God, praising him and worshiping him, bringing our needs before him, praying together as a group of believers. Our focus is on God, right? It's not on seeking praise from other people. So what prayer is not, what prayer must never, ever be, it should never be an opportunity to build oneself up. It should not be something that you know, feeds our pride. That's not ever what prayer should be. Prayer is the means by which we praise God and honor him and come before his presence and trust and dependence. Well, Jesus has more to say in verse 7. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Again, see that word "when"? So when you pray, the expectation is you will pray. And when you pray, don't pray like these other ones, not the hypocrites in this case. In this case, it's the heathen, the Gentiles. Don't pray like them, because those people use vain repetitions. They say the same thing over and over and over and over again. And Jesus says, these people, as they say the same thing over and over and over again, they think that their God will hear them, or their gods will hear them, because of their much speaking. Don't pray like that, Jesus says. It's not the amount of words that matters to God. It's not as if there are certain key words that God is looking for, and then if you say those words, well, then you're going to have a blessing. No, that's not how God works. That's not how he answers prayer. It's not the length of one's prayer that matters. You know, it's not the words themselves that you say that really matter. I'm reminded of what we read in 1 Kings chapter 18. Here we have Elijah on the one hand, and the prophets of Baal on the other hand. And there's going to be a contest of sorts to show whether it's the Lord God that's truly God or whether it's Baal that's God. And to remember how this scenario plays out, we have all these prophets of Baal. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, we have them crying out to Baal to answer their prayers. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there is no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he's on a journey, or maybe he sleeps. You know, he needs to be awoke." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. So I'm not sure if they were speaking in vain repetitions, saying the same thing over and over and over again, but they were doing all they could to be heard of Baal. And these certainly were pagans here praying to a false god. Now, how did Elijah pray? Did he go on and on all morning or all afternoon or all evening praying to his God? No, he's prayed a very relatively short prayer. "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Okay, you see how Elijah prayed? He prayed a relatively short prayer, a prayer that was in public, but a prayer that sought to glorify God and to demonstrate that, yes, Elijah was the servant of God and not the prophets of Baal. Now, the Gentiles had a habit of praying, saying the same thing over and over and over again, thinking that God would hear them. The hypocrites as well prayed long prayers. We read this about the scribes in Mark chapter 12 and verse 40. He speaks about them devouring widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. Okay, so here are these religious leaders praying for a very long time, but it's all for a pretense. It's all for show. So the disciples must not follow the Gentiles, the pagans. They must not follow the scribes in their hypocritical prayer practices either. They should not think that God would hear them if only they prayed long enough, or if only they repeated the right words enough times. Jesus tells them in verse 8, "Be ye therefore not like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." So it doesn't matter how long your prayer is. It doesn't matter the number of words that you repeat. What matters is your humble reliance upon God in faith. Simple trust and dependence. You see, God already knows everything that you need, even before you ask him. God knows, God is eager to help, but God does want you to ask. So whenever we pray to God, are we informing God of anything? And the answer is no. God already knows everything. He knows all of our needs already. But God wants us to come to him in faith, rely not on ourselves, but relying on him. It's an act of faith, trust, dependence. Now, as Jesus says these words in verses 7 and 8, let us not think that there are not times that we need to labor in our prayers and spend great lengths of time praying. Okay. It's not that Jesus says that you can't spend a long time in prayer or even repeat the same burden time and time again to God. Jesus isn't speaking against that. What he is speaking against is what seems to be a mechanical view of prayer, where if you say these words this many times, well, then God is sure to answer your prayer. He will listen to you then. Now, at times, a long time spent in prayer is necessary. We think of what we read in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, how Jesus spent all night in prayer. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Because Jesus spent all night in prayer. Sometimes we may be required to spend all night in prayer. The disciples, as they came before God in prayer, sometimes they would have to come time and time before him in prayer, time and time again. Luke chapter 18, we find this emphasis in verse 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." So we need to persevere in our prayers. As we think about persevering in our prayers, sometimes we'll come to God with the same request time and time and time again. Maybe even within the space of an hour or two, we'll come before God with the same request multiple times. Is this what Jesus is speaking out against? The answer is no. Because you remember what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. We have Jesus, and what does he pray? We see this in Matthew 26, verses 39 through 44. Jesus went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He comes back, he finds the disciples sleeping, Peter, James, and John. And then he went again away the second time, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And then he comes back, he finds the disciples asleep again, he returns, he went away again, he prayed the third time, saying the same words. So Jesus here, in this hour before his death, praying earnestly to the Father, and he used much the same words every time he came before him. So Jesus here teaching the disciples, the Father is not somehow coerced by the words that we say. He's not informed by what we tell him in prayer. God already knows all things. We aren't revealing anything to God the Father by our prayers. What we are showing is trust and dependence. It's an act of humility. Jesus in Luke chapter 12 and verse 30 said much the same thing as we read in our current passage here, that the Father already knows. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. God knows already. I'm reminded of Isaiah 65 verse 24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. See, God already knows. And sometimes God will answer our prayers even before we voice them, if such a thing is possible. You know, from our perspective, how can we have an answer to prayer even before we ask it? But that's what Jesus says, or the Lord says, before they call, I will answer. See, God already knows, but still God wants us to come before him in prayer. Jesus says later on in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts or good things to them that ask him? See, Jesus is teaching the disciples that whenever you pray, you definitely don't want to be praying so that people see you and think highly of you. When you pray, you don't need to be saying the same words over and over and over again. You don't need to be thinking that God somehow is going to hear you and answer your prayer because of, you know, how laborious you are in your prayers. As far as saying words over and over and over again. God already knows. Come to him in simple faith and dependence. Trust him. Now, yes, sometimes we will come before him time and time again. But each time it must be in trust and dependence. Knowing that God knows and he will answer in his time. Now, what a privilege it is for us to come to God in prayer. As believers, all of us should be praying. We should be praying even as Jesus instructed. But we must pray the right way, with the right motives. So whenever we pray in a public place, don't be thinking about what others are thinking or what they're thinking about you. Pray to God in humility. Don't pray to impress people or to receive human praise. May we never pray either thinking that somehow God will hear us because of the length of our prayers or the words that we say. It's not just about what we say. It's an act of dependence on God. God already knows, and God will answer in his way, but we must come before him in prayer, asking him. That's how God often meets our needs. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. May we today be men and women of prayer. And let us keep in mind, there's a right way to pray, there's a wrong way to pray. May we, by God's grace, come before our Father, come before the throne of grace, and may we do so in the right way, with the right heart, with the right motives. May we humbly seek God's face for his glory. May we pray in this way. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what Jesus taught the disciples so long ago. In Jesus' day, many people were abusing the practice of prayer. They were praying not to give glory to you, but rather they were praying so that they themselves would receive glory. Help us never to pray in that way. I pray that we'd be focused on you and you alone for your glory. Help us to realize, too, it's not just saying the same things over and over again. It's not the length of our prayers, but it's humble dependence upon you. So help us, Lord, to pray with the right motives, with the right heart, in the right way. Help us to seek your glory, and help us to realize you know, you already know. But help us to bring these things before you, all of our needs, all of our burdens. Let us bring all of our praises and our thanksgivings. You are worthy of our praise. Help us to cast all of our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us. So help us, Lord, to be men and women of prayer, but help us to be men and women who pray in the right way with the right motives. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.